Agneto, written by Raxheim and read by K-Burb. This is a Locke Tomb fic, rated general audiences, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationship between Gideon and Ianthe. What the fuck is that? It's a flamingo, Kiri. Do they not have those on the 9th? You fucking know we didn't, you dick. Kiriona leaned in close to the cracked plex. The whole case looked like it had been cratered, but the plex had done its job. Inside the case, the creature remained entirely intact, and even seemingly unbothered by the experience. Kiriona had never seen anything of its shape and color before, even in the oldest, dustiest tomes of the 9th. The creature's beak and clawed feet were superficially similar to some sketches of winged flying animals she had seen in one of her favorite manuscripts as a child, but the legs and neck were far too long, and the wings far too small. Are you sure it's actually a bird? Absolutely positive. Huh. Rotten luck. Yes, Ianthe replied. It did seem like rotten luck. Gideon couldn't imagine why a bird of all things would need to be that bright, unnatural shade, or have those tiny wings, or have legs that look like they could snap if she even looked at them wrong. Everything about the creature seemed wholly decorative, like the universe was accessorizing when it dreamt up the thing. Also, it was not moving. It was entirely dead, preserved with enough art and care that if one wasn't paying attention, it might be easy to mistake it for alive. But despite the nearness of the two princes, it did not flinch behind the cracked pane of clear plex that had protected it from the fate that had befallen the rest of the room. Its eyes glinted only with the reflection of the dim emergency lights, otherwise appearing flat and cold. Kiriona scowled, shoving her hands in her pockets. Why are we here again? Bonding, my dear prince. And morale. Lord knows it's lacking. No offense, but aren't animals supposed to be like, you know? Kiriona gestured to the frozen bird in front of her. Ianthe only quirked one eyebrow in response, waiting for Kiriona to elaborate. Alive. You said you were bringing me to a real zoo. Said it was time I, and I quote, stop moping around like a horrifically bloated slug and see the sights. How is this more enlightening than a book? What's the point of visiting if they're all dead? Oh, zoo animals should be alive, definitely. We went to one often as a child, though dear Corona was always scared by this or that. We tricked Babs into climbing into the fish tank once. That was a riot. But we're not in the system, you provincial orphan. We're in deep space. And more than that, we're on the Mithraeum. Or what's left of it. And they kicked a loose bit of shrapnel to the side. Everything here is horrendously old. Besides, it all got dunked in the river. Not to mention the preceding onslaught of heralds. No living animal would have survived that, even if they had somehow stayed kicking for the preceding 10,000 years. You are the worst tour guide in the history of the universe. Ianthe reached out to give Kiriona a quick pat on the head before she moved onwards. Good. Now lock in. We're not here for recreation. We're on a mission. Now that Daddy can think about this horrid space station long enough without bursting into tears. I told you not to... Wait, hey, what happened to the bonding? Getting sentimental now, aren't we? That was a ruse that I did so very cleverly to ensure. And they continued walking, presumably fully entranced by the sound of her own voice. Once she tuned the words out, Kiriona had to admit the voice itself was not an entirely unpleasant background noise. Kiriona stared back at the bird, frozen forever in some kind of perfect, terrible beauty. Then the plex shattered. The sound was terrific, one huge crash followed by the clinking sound of razor-sharp shards of plex skittering across the floor. The knuckles of Kiriona's hands didn't even hurt. Despite the force it must have took, Her skin remained whole. No trace of blood or bruise where the fist had met the enclosure. She did not flinch. The bird did not move. Kiriona was pulled out of her head by Anthe, poking her head back around the corner. "Stop dilly-dallying, and stop making even more of a mess. Good Lord, you're going to have to clean that up later." Anthe pressed her fingers to her own temple. "I need your help in John's office. I'm not going to sort through 10,000 years of doodles and mislabeled cohort notes on my own." "Choke on a dick," Kiriona snapped, but Ianthe had already disappeared again, off to finish whatever inane task she'd signed them up for. Kiriona sighed before shoving her hands into her pockets, leaving the flamingo behind. She passed perfectly preserved corpse after perfectly preserved corpse, many of them far worse off than the flamingo with its cracked plaques. Some of the poor creatures were overturned entirely, their protective plex housing smashed to bits, and not by any prince's hand. Kiriona recognized some of them, a canine with most of its teeth intact, snarling at nothing, blank eyes fixed on the ceiling. A case of insects in jewel tones, looking almost exactly like a poster she remembered hanging on the wall of the ninth house's long abandoned creche. A creature she could not name, all long legs and soft fur and great curved horns spiraling out from its head and broken off at the ends. Some of the cases had plaques that were still readable, containing little notes about where the poor creatures had been dredged up from. Rhodes, 600 AR. Sixth Fleet mascot, unofficial. Died, 1290 AR. Cygnus Colony, planet designation, 63MX1, 3540 AR. First house, South America, maybe. Kiriona let her eyes glaze over after the first few. None of the dates were in any way recent. Whoever had curated this collection had clearly gotten bored of the habit somewhere in the intervening myriad. Or maybe they had simply run out of dead things that were readily available to stuff. At the end of the hall, in a large container, was one animal that remained in pristine condition. The plex was perfect, unmarred by cracks or herald goop. Like the storm that had overtaken the rest of the ship, had simply forgotten to visit this particular corner. She stepped close. The animal was larger than she was. The fur on its dorsal half was a violent orange, with a brilliantly white belly that was branded all through with black stripes. It had clearly been preserved with care, but up close, it bore the telltale signs of post-mortem necromancy. The fur was patchy in some places, like it had been regrown after the animal was already dead. Other parts of it looked ever so slightly wrong, like the skin had been pulled closed around a wound far too large for the death to have been natural. Something itched at the back of Kiriona's mind like she should know the creature's name or something, even though she'd never seen anything like it in her life. Kiriona gazed at it. The dead animal gazed back. Its golden irises were clouded. What once may have been striking looked just flat and dead. The black of the irises was reflective, and Kiriona could see her own blurred shape in the depths. Red hair, white jacket. The scarf she had wrapped so carefully around the gaping wound of her neck. Kiriona looked away, down to the little metal plaque in front of the display. First house. Melbourne Zoo. Restored. Sad face emoji. "Guess it's just you and me, huh, buddy?" she said softly. Silence. "Did you like it? Back on the first? Before you died and they stuffed you in here?" Silence. Kiriona rocked back on her heels, reveling in the ease of it. When she had first woken up, nothing had felt easy. "First house means you're probably just as old as Dad. Looking good for it, considering." Silence. "Do you wish you had been left to rot?" The dead animal said nothing. The other dead animal scuffed the floor with the toe of her boot before she turned and walked away. The end.